As we turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3, to those verses read earlier, we find here King David lamenting over the grave of Abner, the son of Ner. And you know, when I think of this, well, what an epitaph. And God forbid that these words could ever be said over anyone here, that he or she died as a fool. We read there in verse 33 these words, and the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." When I think of Abner, I consider Abner's privilege. The name Abner means, "Thy father is a lamp." You know, when you think of lamplight, the Word of God says that His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the young man Abner was privileged, and he was given a name in the Hebrew, "Thy father is a lamp." You know, so many of us have enjoyed this privilege. A father or mother or both spiritually enlightened, those who indeed have taught us the Word of God, a mother that read to us the Scriptures, father that did the same, and they counseled us and they prayed for us. And yet there are so many who have been brought up in such a way, and despite all their privileges and all that they were taught even in childhood, they are still in darkness. And Abner reminds us that although these great privileges are God-given, unless we have our trust in the Lord and in Him alone, these privileges in themselves will not fit us for heaven. I think of the love of the privilege. You know, when we think of young people and they are being raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord, they enjoy a tremendous privilege. And apart from God's salvation itself, there is no greater privilege than being raised up in a Christian home. Oh, I had that privilege. My parents both came to know the Lord when I was just 5 years old, and I was raised in the things of God. You know, sadly, there was a resentment there. And so many who are privileged in this way can still be resentful of the restrictions that godly parents, they imagine, are placing upon them, but rather they are endeavoring to protect them from that which would be grievous to them spiritually. And we should indeed appreciate such privileges. And to have a father or a mother who enlightens us in the things of God, well, we find ourselves like Abner, enjoying the lamplight of God's Word, the love of the privilege, taught in love. But there is also the losing of the privilege. And God's Spirit will not always strive with man. You know, someday those who despise the gospel well, they will despise it for the last time. And it's a tragic thought. The Lord, of course, knows those who are His. He has chosen a people unto Himself from before the foundation of the world, and sent His eternal Son into this world to redeem them. But that does not abdicate any of His or her responsibility, because we are all as individuals accountable to God, and accountable to God for the benefits and privileges that He has bestowed upon us. When many in this dark world of sin have never heard the name of Christ presented, oh, here is Abner, and David asks a question. He said, really, did you die as a fool? Died Abner as a fool dieth. He's pondering why. There's a question mark after his words. Why should this be? Why should one who knew the truth perish at the hands of Joab? And so there was the light of this privilege. There's the love of the privilege. Sadly, the losing of it. And then I see Abner's pursuer, Joab, the avenger of blood. He's pursuing Abner. You know, Joab is a type of Satan, the enemy, the pursuer of the soul. And he was bitter, as was Abishai, his brother, because Abner had slain their brother Asahel in the battle. And of course, when we think of Joab, we see one who is known as the avenger of blood. And he's pursuing Abner. And it's a continuous pursuit. Abner had slain Joab's brother Asahel in the battle at Gibeon. From that moment, Joab pursued Abner continually. You know, each and every one of us, we're aware that we have a soul. And the devil is the great enemy of the souls of men. And he pursues men, women, and young people. And Satan desires, indeed, that those without Christ will leave this world in that way, without Christ, and perish eternally in hell with Him who already knows His destiny. And He pursues men and women from the cradle to the grave. But for God's saving grace, He would even pursue you and me to hell itself. And every day we see men, women, and young people being pursued by this great enemy of the soul. And Joab, he had his eyes set on Abner, and it was a continuous pursuit, no relenting. And you know, not only does the enemy desire to lead the unsaved into a lost eternity, but he doesn't leave you or me who are saved alone either. Oh, he's continually seeking to bring us down. I think of Simon Peter, who denied the Lord. And you know, he considered himself to be spiritually strong. This dear man, he thought, well, I'm Peter. In his arrogance, he thought, I'm beyond falling. Oh, the rest might deny the Lord. They might fail Him, but I won't fail Him. And the Lord knew his heart. Satan. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, feed the flock, minister to my brethren. And here was the Lord saying to him, Satan wants to rob you of your testimony. He wants to leave nothing but chaff. But I've prayed for you, Peter. When you're restored, you will strengthen my brethren. You will feed the people. And so we find that you and I who are saved, we need to be mindful that the old pursuer, even though our souls are lost to him forever, he still won't leave us alone. As an old preacher once said, even when you and I are gone through the gates of heaven, the enemy will still be nipping at our heels like a terrier. So we think of Abner, and he's been pursued by Job. It's a continuous pursuit, but it's a cunning pursuit. Oh, the Joab was a man of war. He was a cunning individual. Indeed, as we think of Joab and David, the king was his uncle. David's sister, Zeruiah, was Joab's mother. Joab and Abishai. David later said, "Ye sons of Zeruiah, ye be too hard for me." David, man of war though he was, he had a loving heart. He had a shepherd's heart. But Joab, so different. Cruel and cunning. And David had sent Abner away in peace. And Abner had made an agreement with David that he would bring his armies under the king's control. And praise God for Christ the greater David, who offers you and me peace. And this was what really grieved David. He sent Abner away in peace. And he should have been at peace. But Joab was robbing Abner of that peace. And in so doing, he was also robbing David of it. And you know, we think of Christ, the Prince of Peace, the greater David. And it's in him that you and I have peace. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. But Joab, with lies and deceitfulness, he brings Abner back to Hebron. And he's lying. And David knows nothing about this. You know, when we think of so many young people today, and the devil will whisper lies in their ears. He will have them believe his lies continually. He'll say, "Well, don't consider too much now the welfare of your soul. Don't you be worrying too much at this stage about heaven or hell, or how you're accountable to God. Sure, you've all these years of life ahead of you. When you're an old man and the beard tripping you, well, there'll be time enough considering these things. Enjoy your life now." And yet we find that the devil, who is a liar from the beginning, he makes so many false promises, and he lifts people up in order to bring them down. And here is this cunning pursuit of Joab in order to slay Abner. And you know, Abner listened to him. And now we hear the words of David, "Died Abner as a fool. He perished as a fool." And it was a callous pursuit there in verse 27. As he took him aside in the gate. Oh, the devil loves to take people aside. "Oh, just can I have a quiet word in your ear," said Joab. And no doubt he throws an arm around Abner's shoulder. And then with his deceitful heart, he smites him with the dart and slays him. You know, Abner has been playing the fool here. And the wages of sin is death. And even as we think of every service today where the blood of Christ will be faithfully preached as the only salvation for sin, the devil will still be callously pursuing men, women, and young people, whispering his lies and exercising deceit to lead them in to eternal death and ruin. But you know, when we think of Abner and the words of David, "Died Abner as a fool dieth," you see, we need to consider Abner's provision. God in mercy always makes provision for the soul being pursued by the enemy. And what a provision had been made for Abner, and he failed to avail himself of it. If you turn to Joshua 20, verses 1 and 3, Joshua chapter 20, verse 1, Joshua 20, verse 1. "The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. When he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not beforehand. And he shall dwell in the city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come on to his own city, and on to his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjatharba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah." Hebron was a city of refuge. And all Abner had to do was to step inside the gate. A sovereign provision. This was God ordained. God had instructed Joshua to set these cities apart, the cities of refuge from the slayer, from the avenger of blood. And Hebron, where Abner perished, was such a city. It was a means of deliverance ordained and instituted by Almighty God. And when we think of the salvation that you and I, dear brother, dear sister, are enjoying today, Christ indeed has provided this refuge for you and me. The Lord has provided it in the person of his only begotten Son. He is the rock of our salvation. He is our fortress and rock of defense. Praise God for all those who have fled to him for refuge. That is why we can say, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And of course, Salvation is a gift of God. It's by grace that you and I have been saved through faith. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any of us should boast. Sovereign provision. A God-given provision. But it was a sure provision. Had Abner stepped inside the gate, he was surely safe. Safe from the hand of Joab, the enemy, inside the gate. And that's the question. Can we all say today that we're inside the gate, that we are in Christ? He is our city of refuge. Are we found in Him? Where indeed there is no condemnation. You see, Abner here, he had slain Joab's brother Asahel in the battle at Gibeon. But it wasn't premeditated murder. There was no bitterness in Abner's heart before he slew Asahel. It was in the battlefield. And it wasn't an intentional slaying, premeditated. And so here was Hebron, the provision, the place of refuge for Abner. And it was sure. And you know, you and I who are saved by the grace of God, who are in Christ, the salvation of ours is sure. We're as sure of heaven as if we are already there. Found in Christ, entered into God's provision by faith, being effectually called by His Spirit. Can we say today, yes, I'm saved, and I'm saved for time and for eternity? It was a sovereign provision, a sure provision, and a very simple one, a simple provision. The gate was there. The gates of Hebron. He came to the gate. And he was in the gate. But he wasn't through the gate. And Joab takes him aside at the very entrance to the city of salvation. Nothing difficult. Simply accepting that provision that God had made for him. And you know, when we think of Christ and the salvation that He has procured for His people, salvation which we and I never deserved, is a step of faith. We haven't in ourselves to take that step. But God effectually calls men, women, and young people to Himself. He regenerates them by His Spirit. And enables them, as He calls them effectually, to place their faith in Christ. God-given faith. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. It's not about our religious practices or labors. It's all by God's grace. And what a provision God made for us in the death of His eternal Son at Calvary. Oh, the price that Christ paid to redeem His people. And Abner's provision was there. David said, died Abner as a fool. And then there's Abner's procrastination. Joab took him aside in the gate. You know, there are three noticeable points here. Abner proceeded to the gate. The very gate of the place of refuge. You know, there's been many a soul being dealt with by the Spirit of God. And God has spoken to them. And you could have said, humanly speaking, that they were almost persuaded, but not altogether persuaded. Standing, as it were, at the very gates of heaven and yet not there. hearing the voice of God's Spirit calling, reminding people of the price that was paid by Christ on the cross of Calvary. Abner wasn't very far away, but he might as well have been 10 miles away. But he perished. Abner proceeded to the gate, but Abner paused at the gate. And the enemy takes him aside. Oh, what an awful picture of the devil, taking sinners aside at the very gate, trying to lure them away. And yet, all he wants to do is slay them. And Abner hearkened to Joab. As Joab coaxed him by the way to have a word in his ear, he smote him and he slew him. Abner paused at the gate. You know, it's been said in the old English proverb, procrastination is the thief of all time. And here is Abner stopping with the enemy at the gate, listening to the enemy. And King Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, oh, that thou wast altogether persuaded. And they never read where King Agrippa became a Christian. So near, perhaps, and yet so far. D.L. Moody, the American evangelist, some of his theology would have been different from ours, but he loved the Lord and he loved the souls of men. And he was conducting a mission in the city of Chicago. And as the people were leaving the great hall that night, there were those who were leaving early to avoid the rush. He put up his hand and he shouted from the pulpit, come back again tomorrow night, come back again tomorrow night. And later on that night, the great fire of Chicago broke out. And many of those people that had been there were ushered out into eternity. And Moody wept. He said, never again will I say from a pulpit to a sinner, come back tomorrow night. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And we find here that, well, God, he has determined those who are his. But I say men and women are left without excuse, those who hear and know the gospel. And Abner had no excuse for dying as he did. And Abner's perdition. We see again David weep in verses 32 and 33. Why is he weeping? Because of the extent of Abner's foolishness, all those privileges and benefits amounting to nothing. Because of the end of his foolishness, death outside the place of refuge, and the eternity of his foolishness. You know, when you and I think of those who die outside Christ, the city of refuge, then it's hell, and hell eternally. Oh, we find David here weeping at the grave of Abner. And he's weeping because of the young man's foolishness. Oh, we all must leave this world sooner or later. God forbid that it would be said of any of us, he or she despite their privileges, died as a fool. May the Lord bless his word today to each and every heart. In Jesus' name, amen.